Welcome to Lena Live. This is Julian Lampert, the producer, and this time I will be joining in hosting the program together with our usual host and creator of the show, Lena Miermond, who sits here by my side, and she happens to be my mother as well. And today we're presenting author, web designer, and graphics artist Chris Black. And Chris Black is the author of the much-anticipated Squarespace 6 for Dummies. And I can speak with a little bit of personal experience with this book because although I'm certainly not a web designer and thank God I'm not having any plans to go into such a complicated territory, I used Chris's book to orient myself, to educate myself with just some very basic work. And I have to say that Chris's book was wonderfully informative, very, very instructive. And I really felt that for a complete beginner, a tourist in the area of web design, this book certainly did a wonderful job in orienting me into the proper direction. However, we still use Chris's services for our company's website, and I have no plans in doing things that I know that only Chris will be able to do in a thoroughly professional manner. And we have the great pleasure of welcoming Chris for the first time to our show. Chris, welcome to our program.
Hey, Julian. Thank you for having me.
And Julian certainly gave me an opportunity and pleasure to say hello to you as well. And since I only met you through your truly remarkable work, I'm glad that now we have this dialogue and we can see who is this mysterious person behind this internet life. So I'm going to shift gears to Julian, and here and there I will pose a few questions of myself. And meanwhile, welcome, and it's truly wonderful, very timely to have this conversation.
Thank you, Lena. I appreciate it. I enjoy being here.
Chris Black is the co-owner of Black and Hue Studios, a web design service that is based in South Carolina, correct?
That's correct. It's in Columbia, South Carolina.
Columbia, South Carolina. And Chris, can you tell us, starting from absolute scratch, from the standpoint of someone who knows next to nothing about web design, what is Squarespace, first of all?
Sure. Squarespace is a publishing platform, and you use that. You publish a website. You create an account with Squarespace, much like you'd create an account with, say, Facebook for a Facebook profile, or with Twitter for a Twitter account. And the difference being that with Squarespace, you create your website, you can create pages on your site, you can add a blog, you can even sell products, services through Squarespace. It's an e-commerce system. And it's very easy to use, a lot of point and click. You add elements. The basics of it have been said that you use Squarespace to kind of build your site like you would stack like children's blocks together to build a tower. You just add your elements piece by piece until you have a full site.
Mm-hmm. How does Squarespace differ from other web design platforms which also have templates and so forth and so on? What main distinguishing features does Squarespace have?
Probably the most distinguishing feature that Squarespace has would be that you can build anything you need within Squarespace. It's a whole website solution. A lot of other services and solutions that are out there, you tend to have to piecemeal a lot of things together. If you may have a store with another service online, and your blog may be hosted by another service that you use, and Squarespace allows you to tie all that stuff together under one domain, under one website. So you can create a unified look across your entire site and everything you offer.
I see. Interesting. And if getting now into the territory of someone who is more or less familiar with web browsing, who uses the internet quite actively, and might be considering Squarespace, is it possible with Squarespace to integrate a blog, for example, that was written with WordPress or some of the other blog services? Can all of that be consolidated under Squarespace or not?
Well, you can import a WordPress blog. You'd import all your content into your Squarespace site, so Squarespace would replace WordPress. There are some other systems that Squarespace can import from. If you had a store, I believe if you had a store with Shopify, you can import your products from Shopify into Squarespace. So if you wanted to make the switch from Shopify or WordPress or other solutions, there's an easy import process. Same with like social media. Squarespace has some connected services where you can import your tweets, and Squarespace wouldn't replace Twitter or replace Facebook or say Flickr or Instagram, but it would allow you to pull in your content that you post to those networks onto your site and to share them that way. So you kind of collect your brand, you know, under one website, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. I see. That's certainly very powerful. Would you say that Squarespace is more friendly to the Mac or the PC platforms, or not necessarily?
It's the same. You have the same experience on either platform, Mac or Windows. I've read a couple articles on the internet where people compare Squarespace to Apple, simply because Squarespace has a very high standard for the type of templates and designs that they put out through their service. Just like Apple has a very high standard, you know, with the products and the software they create. But you don't have to have a Mac or a PC. I mean, it doesn't matter which system you're using. Squarespace functions within the browser. And as long as you have a modern browser, and I would imagine most people do, you should be fine.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Chris Black, who's the author of Squarespace 6, a highly acclaimed book. I should say Squarespace 6 for Dummies. We all know about the series for Dummies, and so that's why most of us are able to resist laughing or smiling when we when we hear that subtitle of for Dummies, because all of us are more or less specialists in one area, but we're certainly dummies in others. So we happen to be this evening talking to an expert in an area in which most of us are dummies, which is web design, and specifically Squarespace's design. How did you get involved with Squarespace? Were you attracted to their platform in a certain manner? How did Squarespace's path and yours crisscross?
Sure. So my background is in print. I graduated from college with a print with a art studio degree with a concentration in graphic design.
Oh.
Got a job out of college as a print designer and just started dabbling in web design in my free time. I'm not one to sleep a lot, stay up late, or either get up really early. So I would just design, you know, work on web design at night, just teaching myself how to do things. So we're going all the way back to probably like around 2002. It's like 12 years ago. And I built websites by hand back then, just used some software that came with my Adobe Creative Suite. I don't even think they called it that back then, but I learned how to write code by hand, not using any software other than a code editor just to type everything out.
Really?
And that's kind of like around when blogging became popular. There were systems that came out. WordPress wasn't even out then. There was something called Movable Type, which is still around today, but it's one of the first blogging platforms or CMS, content management systems. And I used that, and then Blogger. A lot of people may be familiar with Blogger. Some people call it Blogspot because a lot of the blogs have that in their URL.
Yes.
And I experimented with that, just playing around, building simple blogs, just styling and adding design to them. And I just kept trying new tools, these new blogging platforms. And my wife and I, this is around 2004, she had a friend that was a real estate agent, and my wife and I are both graphic designers, and we dabble in photography, and our real estate friend wanted to know if we could photograph some houses for her, create a slideshow that we could host on a website. And we're like, yeah, we can do that. So one weekend I was like, I need to build a website quickly, but none of the systems I'd used in the past allowed me to do it very quickly in a weekend. And did a search and found a service called Squarespace. And I didn't know at the time, but Squarespace was only around for like a year at that point. And I created an account, chose a template. I already had a lot of coding background, so I was able to go in and tweak some things that maybe the average user wouldn't do. They would use the WYSIWYG system, just point and click, changing settings, and quickly built a site with two or three different slideshows for houses that our real estate friend were selling, and called it a day, and it was done. And ever since then, I would use Squarespace to build, I used it for my personal site, and kind of dabbled in some other systems. And we're going to jump ahead about 4 years to 2008. I'd had an email relationship, and if I'm being way too detailed, let me know. But
that's why we invited you.
Okay, all right. So
we want to know about the man behind the artist, as we say.
All right. Well, I tend to ramble sometimes, so just stop me if I do. But I had an email relationship going with the creator of Squarespace, Anthony Casalena, and he answered support tickets. He ran the company by himself. He would build, and work on Squarespace during the day. He'd answer support tickets at night. But I kind of had a little email relationship going back and forth because I'd have questions. And around the end of 2008, I emailed Anthony and asked if he would mind if I started a website about using Squarespace. I thought I might dabble in doing a podcast because I'd been doing that for a couple years with some friends about comics. And I just wanted to kind of share my knowledge about Squarespace with others and show them some tips and tricks that I've learned. And we went back and forth a little bit, and he finally just said, well, why don't you come work for the support team? And at that time, I had a day job. I was an art director for our state's health department. And having a state job is pretty secure, and had good benefits, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to leave that behind and work for a support team. I'd be working from home in Columbia for Squarespace, out of state, and thought about it for about 3 months and worked part-time a little bit with Squarespace. They let me work a couple hours, kind of learn, work with the other support staff that had already come on by that time. And after 3 months of doing that for a couple hours a night, I took the plunge and started working for Squarespace full time and did that for a couple years and worked on freelance web design while I was working for Squarespace, worked third shift. And I'd start working at 10 o'clock and work till 3 or 4 in the morning for Squarespace answering support tickets. And then I would stay up for a couple hours doing freelance, go to bed, wake up at lunch, do more freelance, and just did that for a couple years until I grew my skills enough where I applied for a job here in town as a web developer for our energy utility and got that job and kind of moves into some other areas of my life past then. But that's kind of like my adventure with Squarespace, how I got started and how I moved forward with it.
That's remarkable because it sounds like it was a combination of a bunch of factors, serendipity and
yes.
With the Squarespace's founder and you really moving to some degree in similar directions and your paths crisscross. That's excellent. Lena has a question.
Okay. Actually, I like to elaborate a little bit, making a general point. The process a little bit similar, how to learn to play a musical instrument. Then once you know one, then you aging another instrument, then you have a chamber group, and then gradually you're so brilliant that you're stretching and you're building the orchestra. So I think you've been very successful passing all these stages, requirements, and fulfill your gifts. So now you are playing your orchestra, having all client pool and very diversified content of your designs. The reason I said so because I got familiar with your web with your own web design, and not because we have a conversation, but I wanted to tell you it's very clear, it's elegant, it's dynamic, and it's very engaging to the point that you actually, I don't know, consciously or subconsciously attracting your visitor to stay as long as possible, because some pictures cannot be seen for too long. For example, Whole Foods just passing by, I just started to read this Whole Foods. So thankfully, I'm familiar with the their logo and their look, so I immediately recognize that this is a Whole Food. And that brings one question.
Okay.
What is the psychology or what are the components behind each design? They're extremely different. Of course, people are very different, but there are some perhaps similar idiosyncrasies, some unspoken rules. Elaborate, perhaps general or maybe with some specific.
Forgive me for not understanding, but you're asking like what's the process for designing a website?
Yes, forgive me. I made a comment about the process of your development and establishment, but what I meant to say that there are different methods, different ways to attract the visitor. And what I noticed that the Whole Food picture, which is appearing on your website, does not stay there for too long. It's sort of passing by. Was it a definite plan to do so? And what other elegant tricks you're using when you're building some of your websites?
You know, it's funny. Today I had to speak with a group. We had to kind of deconstruct the site design that was not working. And I found it was really weird because I found that I had a really hard time, and I don't know why, in the 14 years I've been a professional designer, speaking about why something didn't work. I had a really hard time getting the words come out of my mouth as to why it wouldn't work. But I guess when I'm designing a site, I try to find the simplest solution to the problem. There's a lot of, and if I'm not answering this correctly, let me know, but there's a lot of technique behind designing a website. I guess you could call them best practices. A lot of sites are designed on a grid where you kind of have this underlying structure. Maybe it's like a 12-column layout, very similar to how a newspaper may be laid out. And you may place your elements on the page where one thing may be it's 6 columns wide, but you center it within the page. And you have other elements that you kind of stagger along that grid to create a unified design. Am I answering your question?
Yes, you're answering the question. And in fact, you brought very interesting point when something does not go the way you want it to go. And that is a true inside life of a web designer. And I think I will shift the gears back to Julian because obviously he is much more technically equipped and you are a pro. So I just interfered with a general question. What is your mental problem, the process, and what do you always have, for example, exact plan, or sometimes you spontaneously making changes?
Okay, well, I wouldn't say anything spontaneous. I don't feel like I'm spontaneous when it comes to design, but I do have a general process that I've developed over the last couple years with the clients I work with through Black & Hue. And I like to gather as much information up front from my clients about the site they want to build. Now, whether that site's going to be a business website that maybe talks about their services, or if it's an e-commerce website that's going to sell products, or it's just a simple portfolio to promote the work that they do. But I just want to gather as much content and information from them as I can so I can get a good sense of what they're trying to accomplish. And most of the time, my clients know exactly what they want to do. I have clients that sometimes they're not really certain what they want to do, and it's, you know, there's a lot of beating around the bush and helping them explore their options and really trying to, you know, I guess it's like a sculpture. You just start carving away until you get to the, you know, you reveal the figure that's underneath the rock. But once I work through that process, then I work on a style, and I don't do anything in a site in terms of I don't start building their website. Then what I like to do is get a sense, like an emotional feel for what of how the design will represent them. So yeah. I pick colors based on the content and then what they tell me their wants and wishes and things they like. So I'll pick colors and fonts that I feel represents either their brand or their mission. And I'll show how those work together kind of outside of a site design. And I'm really just looking for just the feel of that design and to see if I can get their input. And if they like that, then I take that style guide is what I call that, and I incorporate that into a site design from there. So once I work through those two phases, the discovery phase and the visual design phase, then I start designing the site, building the pages, which is really easy to do in Squarespace. Just, you know, click 2 or 3 clicks and you can create a new page and just start laying the content in based on importance, you know, like hierarchy, like what's the most important thing to go on the page. I've already selected fonts and colors, so it's real easy to apply those things to the content once we've worked through that. I just try to break it down into a very basic, like step-by-step approach.
Yes.
Because it's kind of, even though the web, you know, the internet's been a part of our lives for several years now, I find that, you know, there's a disconnect between how I build a website and how I talk about it with a client. And I just try to keep it as simple as possible so that, there's no surprises, and they understand everything that I'm doing, and really just make them a part of the whole experience, so they feel like they're helping design their own site and, you know, get as much input from them as I can.
We're speaking with Chris Black, graphics designer, a web designer, and what I didn't mention in the beginning when we first introduced Chris is that he's also a cartoonist, but more about that later. Let's have a brief word from our sponsor. We'll be back in just a moment. We are honored to have Calvary Hospital of New York City as our sponsor. Calvary, it's where life continues. Please be sure to check out the remarkable services of Calvary Hospital, which can be found on our website at miremontarts.org. You're listening to Lena Live, broadcast from Westchester in New York via BBS Radio in California. This is the miracle of technology that allows us to have these transcontinental programs. And we're speaking today with Chris Black, graphics designer, web designer, and the co-owner of Black and Hugh Studios. Chris, can you tell us where we can find you online? What is your web address?
My personal website is chrisblack.com. That's Chris with a K, K-R-I-S. B-L-A-C-K, and Black and Hue, Hue as in the color, so that would be blackandhue.com is my business website.
You said blackandhue.com, and it's and, did you say the and sign, or it's the word
well,
and?
No, it's the word, the URL of the domain would be the word and, so it's black, A-N-D. HUE.com.
Very good. Okay. Understood. A lot of us have concerns about internet security and would like to ask you if Squarespace has within its platform a security program, or is that something that has to be integrated with another service, another security software?
No, Squarespace is very secure. it's honestly, it's probably the most secure platform I've ever used. And I know, I did write a book about Squarespace and worked for Squarespace and continue to use Squarespace. So I may be a little biased, but it's... you know, recently there's been, I don't know if y'all follow technology news, but there's been a Heartbleed bug. I don't know if y'all heard of that.
No, I haven't heard of this. The Heartbleed bug?
Yes. Yeah.
No, can you tell us about this?
Yeah, there's a popular cryptographic, technical term, but it's a lot of servers on the internet that companies use to build their services that they offer, the systems that they use that run their websites, where you may log in, you may have an account with them. They run off of open source software, and I'm probably going to go a little bit out of my realm of expertise here, but a lot of the web runs on open source software, and part of that is having open source protocols for security, and one of them is known as OpenSSL, which encrypts the data, like in your browser across the internet to a service.
Chris, can I interrupt you just for a moment?
Yeah.
Can you explain to our listeners, what is open source software?
Sure. It's open source software is software that is free to use. And in turn, it's also free to contribute updates to. So developers, say a web developer or some type of software engineer, may help contribute to the growth of that software. And it's in the open realm, so you don't have to pay to use anything. You wouldn't have to pay to use open source software. And the benefit to open source is that you generally the software is it grows pretty quickly and rapidly. A lot of people will contribute to it. They help each other troubleshoot it, add new features, versus maybe buying a piece of software that a company may create and try to sell to make a profit. Does that
I
help?
See. Yes, absolutely. That's very clear. All right. So getting back to your explanation of what the Heartbleed bug is, that's a very threatening name for a problem.
Yeah, there was kind of like a vulnerability in the security of certain open source software that a lot of the internet runs on. And it was allowing sensitive information like usernames and passwords and even entry into these systems by people that shouldn't be going in and grabbing your data. And it was recently discovered and a patch or a fix was released. So all these services across the internet were updating their system so that this vulnerability was eliminated. Mm-hmm. And Squarespace, from I believe what I read, was not affected by this because I don't believe they used the actual software that this vulnerability targeted.
I see.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that open source software is more vulnerable to these kinds of threats and attacks because they're open source. I'm guessing that they are less protected than software that one has to pay for, or not necessarily.
I wouldn't say that it's more prone to vulnerability. You know, everybody, you know, people are human, so, and software is created by people. So I think anything, whether it's open source or it's something you pay for, I mean, the possibility of there being a vulnerability like this is always going to be there. I think the real measure of how people are affected by it is how quick it's discovered and eliminated.
Yes.
I don't lean either way, like open source or paid services. I kind of tend to go with what's best for the use. So
I see. That's very encouraging to hear. I actually didn't know that. I mean, as I said in the beginning, I'm still a tourist with all of this, but I think we have ingrained in our minds that we might feel safer with something that we pay for rather than not. But I suppose that the internet is such an advanced technology, and it's almost moving faster than we're capable of internalizing, that it forces us to think in much more progressive ways than we otherwise would. And so it's very encouraging to hear that open source does not mean necessarily riskier or something that's might even be dangerous or harmful to our system. Getting back to Squarespace, In terms of creating a site for, let's say, for personal use, but a person might have some concerns over access by children. Is there a mechanism in place in Squarespace that helps to protect against unauthorized access to unauthorized access by children?
Or is that
an area that is not up to Squarespace to
my wife and I have two children, and I feel like the best way to protect your children is to limit what they have access to and to teach them. That's an interesting question because, Squarespace, you create a website and your website's open to the world.
Yes.
And the way you access your site to make updates, you have a login and a password. So if you don't want, whether it be children or anybody else, to go onto your website and make updates or to get into things that you don't want them to have access to, just don't share your password and your login or your username.
I see.
And Squarespace, you could probably check their terms of service, their privacy policy, but they don't allow any content on their system that's defamatory or pornographic or anything like that. And if by chance, because they're so large, if someone were to create an account and start posting things like that, I believe there are measures in place to track those things and to, squish them and get rid of them, appropriately. Yes. So,
Chris, are there updates that were made after the publication of your book? Are there updates which can be found or followed from the standpoint of your book to Squarespace 6? Where would one find updated information that first would start from your book, but then may have undergone some changes?
So writing a book is the most frustrating part of writing a book is about software, like Squarespace, is that I don't work for Squarespace anymore, so my timetable for writing the book is different and has nothing to do with their timetable for releasing new features. And as soon as the book was released, there were new features that were popping up on Squarespace, and some of the look and feel of how you interact with Squarespace changed after the book was launched. And really the best place to find out what's changed is Squarespace's actual website. They release new features are mentioned. They have a blog that you can go to, which is off of their main site, and then they have a help section, help.squarespace.com, and that is like their online manual of how to use Squarespace. So any new features, they write help articles that explain how to use the new features. But that is a frustrating part about writing a book is with books you have to go to print at some point, so there's a stopgap on nothing else can be written at this point because it's got to go to press.
That
is frustrating.
It's a little different from writing a book about Leonardo da Vinci.
Yes.
Where all of the information is... there are updates there as well, but not quite as with such light speed as with computer technology. We're speaking with Chris Black, web designer, graphics artist, and the co-owner of Black and Hue Design. And you can find Chris at blackandhue.com with "and" spelled out completely, all one word. Let's pause for a moment for a word from our sponsor, and we'll be back. We are honored to have Calvary Hospital of New York City as our sponsor. Calvary, it's where life continues. We're back with Lean Alive, joined by Chris Black, web designer, author of Squarespace 6 for Dummies, and this is the book about, if I'm not mistaken, the latest Squarespace operating system. Chris, welcome back. And
thank you.
I have a question about your artistic side.
Okay.
You are a cartoonist, as rumor has it, and the rumor originates from your own website, your personal site.
I have no idea who put that there.
I see.
Yeah, you know, I would say it's a passion of mine to be a full-time cartoonist, yet I don't have the time to really dedicate to it.
Uh-huh.
But I do keep a sketchbook with me. It travels everywhere. I carry my laptop, which is every day back and forth,
mm-hmm.
To work. And I mean, it's always with me. So I'm always doodling and drawing. I don't really publish anything because it's something I hold very close to my heart. I'm very passionate about it, and I tend to not like to share a lot of the things I do. Maybe that's the perfectionist part of me.
Yes.
I don't think it's good enough. I don't know.
Well, you predicted my next question. You basically answered it. I was going to ask you where we can find your cartoons, but that is something that I would, at least in my modest rights, I would very, very strongly urge you to put online, because you're obviously a brilliant guy and you are so resourceful as a designer. And actually, I think it's very attractive for people who might be even considering using your services to see that you're not just a technical designer, but that in fact you have some real artistic skill, and we'll have to apply some pressure here to get it out of you.
Yeah, I have people tell me every now and then you really should do something with that, and it's hard. We're a single income family, which I guess is kind of an odd thing in today's world. My wife is a stay at home mom, and really kind of helps run our family and keeps us all going and together. And so
yes,
anything I do, it's always about just making sure I maintain the income coming
yes.
in, and and I have no regrets at all. I enjoy what I do, and I just kind of tell myself, when I retire, that's a good ways off, I'll just start my second career as a cartoonist and just kind of go from there. So,
well, you've certainly achieved a lot of prominence with your book, and you've done some really terrific work for us. And looking forward to continuing in the future. Chris, I have a question regarding your artwork in this sense. How would you say your cartooning, let's put it, has affected your web design? scale has influenced it, or not, or is it something that you think of being totally separate and apart from anyone? Well, obviously you said that it's within you, you keep it very privately, but I mean in terms of the intellectual process, is there a connection for you between your cartoon skills and web design work?
Yeah, there's a couple of I tend to see a couple of ways that the cartooning has helped the web design. And I don't know, maybe one of these ways is not really, it doesn't really help. That may be a hindrance, but probably the toughest part of any design for me is color. I have a really hard time with color. And I see things in black and white and a little bit of gray. I've always seen things like that. And I guess it comes from having my cartooning background is with comic books and comic strips, and particularly like daily comic strips, whether it's you know, like the old Calvin and Hobbes, or like Blondie, you know, some of the classics there with Peanuts. But
yeah,
you know, so when I'm thinking of site designs or trying to work with templates within Squarespace, which those, I don't know if like when you were setting up your site, but for anybody that hasn't done this with Squarespace, when you create a site, the templates are black and white. There's very little color, and there's a reason for that. The reason is that Squarespace wants you to bring your own style and brand to those templates and pick your own colors and apply colors and pick fonts. So,
I see.
Yeah. So there's that crossover there with cartooning and web design, but the bigger crossover for me is, telling a story. And
is what, once again?
Telling a story.
I see. You know, like yes.
with comics or cartooning, I mean, the core experience is the story that's being told. And with cartooning, it's with words and pictures. And I do the same thing on a website. It's, you know, you can't really have a good website without content. And if all you had was content with no design or pictures, you just have static, you know, text. That
yes.
just looks like it was typed up in Word or another word processor.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like, you know, I try to figure out what the experience is on a website and relate that to telling a story and how to move somebody through the site. That's kind of artsy, and I don't always feel like I'm an artsy kind of person. I'm very analytical with how I do things. I like to use math in my designs. You know, I'm real conscious of numbers and percentages and how those relate to each other. So when I get too artsy or speak like kind of artsy, I tend to think I'm not really being my true self. But that, I guess that's where I see the cartooning and the web design kind of crossing over for me, is through story.
Chris, something you made me think of when you were talking about black and white and that you have a hard time with the colors. Black and white is almost like a classic, like a foundation for the graphics. And if we will go the end of the century and beginning of the century, and if we will talk about photography especially, black and white, almost like a heart of the expression. So I wanted to compliment you, because perhaps as an intuitive person, you feel very much enchanted and in harmony with black and white, because in a sense it is a foundation, and colors are becoming as a contrast to black and white. I just wanted to sneak this comment.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is a very important point. And in music we have, or maybe we can say more in music technology, a similar phenomenon in stereo versus mono. And mono definitely is closer to the black and white kind of dimension of hearing sounds. We are speaking with Chris Black, web designer and author of Squarespace 6 for Dummies, having Chris for the first time on our show. And Chris is actually the webmaster for our own website at miremondarts.org. And we're just at the remaining few minutes of our program, and we can't end this, Chris, without asking you about your two dogs, because we are dog fanatics in this family. And we really need to know what kind of dogs you have.
Okay. Yeah, we have... Oh, man, our dogs. We have two, and one of them is a beagle mix. Not really sure if he's a full-blooded beagle, kind of reddish in color, and I'm not good with dog breeds.
Yes.
But he's a great dog. His name's Rory, R-O-R-Y. Our daughter named him. And we're big Doctor Who fans.
Oh.
Do y'all watch Doctor Who?
I watched a few episodes of the original Doctor Who years ago.
Okay.
It's a pretty extraordinary series. Amazing.
It's great. I mean, you know, it's been on for decades. And there's a character in a couple of seasons. He was just the boyfriend of the main girl on the show. And for some reason, my daughter picked Rory as the dog's name. and he's a great dog. We adopted him from a place in town called Pets Inc. And they're kind of like a rescue center where they'll take in dogs being the main pets or animals that they take in, but they'll take in cats and some other, other animals. But we adopted him full grown. We were told he was around a couple years old, and he came fully trained, like house trained. He'll sit when you tell him to sit. You tell him to go get in bed, he go gets in bed. He'll play fetch. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was like we got a great dog without having all the puppy issues having to deal with. And we had him for about a year, and or maybe a little less than a year. My wife was, she was on Facebook, and she had, what is it called? You call it, you like a page, and she liked the Pets Inc. page, and she'd get their updates every day, like when they would find new animals. And they posted a little status update about this dog that someone brought in whose name was Ruby. And Ruby had been hit by a car, and her back leg was broke. And she was malnourished, like she'd been kind of on her own for a while. And she just connected with my wife through the internet somehow. My wife connected with the dog, and we went to see her and adopted her the same day. And she is a tree walking coon hound. It's just, she's a beautiful dog. She's bigger than Rory. And she's not as well mannered. She is super sweet. She's sweet. She's klutzy, and she's sneaky. If you leave the room and you got dinner on the table, you can come back and find her with her paws up, and she's like licking the milk out of my son, his glass, or she's grabbing something off a plate. So we have to really watch her around the house. But I mean, she's a beautiful dog, and we love her. She's great. So her leg healed fine, and she is the fastest dog I've ever seen. You can just like wrestle her on the ground a little bit and get her hyped up, and then she'll just run circles around the backyard. It's
absolutely
crazy.
Amazing. I wish that we had more time to hear about your dogs, because frankly, that's a subject that no amount of time is enough for me to talk about. We absolutely love dogs.
That's good to hear.
Chris Black, we spoke to Mr. Black, who is the author of Squarespace 6 for Dummies. Be sure to check out this wonderful book, and the link for it can be found on either our website, miremondarts.org, or on Chris's website, which is blackandhugh.com.
And I will add, Chris, it was a pleasure And fantastic meeting you. Chris Black, one of the very few, very gifted, honest with integrity web designer. And we wish you all to have the experience to work with Chris.
Chris, thank you very much for joining us.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it. And y'all have a good night.
Thank you.
And you as well. And be sure to join us next Thursday when we speak with Dr. Craig Buehler, an extraordinary health practitioner and a pioneer of medicine. Until then, thanks for joining us on Lean Alive. Thank you.